Welcome to Local Drag. It's a podcast about local drag queens and their thoughts and opinions on RuPaul's Drag Race and the world of drag. My name is Laveau Contraire, and I'm the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, here to put you all under my spell. Tune in each week as I interview one of my favorite squirrel friends and recap the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race and give our unfiltered opinion on the queens of season 13 and Drag Race UK. I am here today with the lovely, the talented, the freshly back in Mississippi, Tara Shea Montgomery. Hi, Tara.
Hey, Laveau. Lovely to be here. How are you?
I'm good. Super excited to talk about this episode. We had so much fun at the viewing party, so I just know that this is about to be a kiki.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I feel like, you know, we can't always tell all of our thoughts and opinions when we got to keep it to a commercial break, but now we get to expound. So.
Right. And really get into
it. Before we get into it, tell me a little bit about your drag journey and how you got started in drag.
So I've been doing drag since 2012, so 9 years now. And I started actually while I was at Christian College in Jackson, yes! Mississippi. And I remember watching RuPaul's Drag Race season 3, and that was kind of my first known exposure to drag. I feel like, obviously, I've seen RuPaul make cameos and things, and I didn't realize that that was a drag. Mm-hmm. But when I finally saw Drag Race, I discovered drag and was like, I love makeup. I love theater. I think I like fashion. I feel like this is something I can do. And the rest is history.
Yes. I mean, I feel like, for better or worse, RuPaul's Drag Race has definitely inspired so many people to not just get into drag, but also just understand what it is.
Absolutely.
Because before Drag Race, or, you know, there was not really mainstream representation of what a drag queen is other than, hey, they paid that actor guy to be a woman. Ha 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 ha. You know?
Oh, right. Absolutely. Like, and people don't even realize necessarily, a lot of people want to argue about drag and almost make it some sort of fetish thing. They don't realize it's strictly a performance art and that they're used to it from seeing Madea or you know, Mrs. Doubtfire. And it doesn't even cross their mind that that is also drag because it's mainstream and it's straight males doing
right.
it.
Right. It's quite a phenomenon that you don't really realize until you jump into drag that so many people mistake drag for, like, cross-dressing, which is a purely sexual thing, and then there's drag that's not really sexual, but then there's also a lot of people who blur the lines, and, you know.
I'm a lot blur myself.
I heard that about you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, to each their own, and the whole point of it is expression, and I just feel like as long as you understand what you're looking at, then you know how to kind of interact with it, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's why we should surround ourselves with different types of people and different stories and really try to understand each other instead of thinking of the world as just one way.
Of course, because there's some any which way, as the Scissor Sisters would say.
Yes. So who's your favorite Drag Race queen of all time?
That is something I've literally struggled with to narrow down my entire life of watching Drag Race. There are so many girls that I idolize for different reasons.
And then you met them?
If I just have to, like, what is that?
And then you met them?
No, unfortunately, no. I haven't had any truly bad experiences except for that one time with Willem, but that was like 7 years ago. And I actually quite enjoy her now. But I would probably say my favorite, just off the top of my head, my go-to is Raven or Detox.
Oh my gosh.
I just really enjoy both of them. And I don't necessarily like emulate their style of drag or have any thing in common with either of them really, but they're so stunning to me.
They really are, absolutely. And they're both LA queens, right?
Yes, actually Detox lives in Chicago now, but yes, they are both LA queens. Absolutely. She moved to Chicago like maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
I feel like.
Because she bought there near her sister.
Oh, yes, that makes sense. I feel like, you know, there are a few drag hubs in America. There's like New York, LA, and Chicago. And you recently moved to LA for a little bit. Right.
Yeah, that was wild. I went out for DragCon in 2018. And basically how it happened was I procrastinated on buying a plane ticket because I thought they got cheaper the longer you waited. And that was, I was wrong about that. So it ended up being more cost effective for me to just drive out there. It was 27 hours straight drive. I stopped once for 5 hours to take a nap in El Paso. And I just like loaded up my car and anything that didn't fit, I sold it. I ended up going out to LA with $700, and then I've stayed until coronavirus
happened. Wow, that is truly amazing. Like, it sounds like a movie.
I mean, hopefully one day it will be. We'll see.
Okay, like, AJ and the Queen Who, this is a drag queen, $700 in a dream.
Right, that's right. The 700 club.
Oh my God, but how is LA different than Mississippi? I mean, except way possible.
We're going to start with my favorite thing, which is obviously recreational marijuana. That's great. you know, it's one of those things where in Mississippi, I'll take a smoke break in the middle of the show. They're smoking cigarettes in the hallway. In L.A., when we take a smoke break, we're all, like, smoked down in the parking garage, out on the corner, talking to trade that walks by. It's a whole moment. but the main difference, I would say, is opportunity, because here in Mississippi, I literally can only think of 4 gay bars across the state.
There are
and then
four?
Maybe about, yes, there's 2 down here on the coast and 2 in Jackson. And that's really it. There have been, you know, others in the past that have come and gone. But, and now there are at least some restaurants and straight establishments that are open to doing drag shows, but only 4 actual gay bars.
Right. Yeah, I could only think of 3, but I just remembered.
Whereas in LA, you know, we've got like at least 40 of them from one side of the city to the other.
It's amazing. I'm sure the drag scene there is like robust as well.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Everywhere you turn, you will hit a drag queen.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds exciting, but also, like, a lot.
Yes. It makes it easy to find people you share common things with, because we're basically all just in a giant orgy of drag queens roaming the streets of West Hollywood and like, popping into this bar for her show and then leaving her show to go to my show at this bar.
Yes.
And we're all attending each other's things, so that's always fun.
I love that. It's very sisterly. Have you had any not-so-sisterly moments?
Actually, one time I was in West Hollywood waiting to get into Mickey's, and I was just wearing like a little tip-around dress. I had already done my show, and this one queen, she was not actually from L.A., she was an Inland Empire queen. She's about an hour outside of LA in like the desert part of Southern California.
Uh-huh.
And she walked past me in like a show costume and literally touched my stomach and said, "Ooh, don't you think you should wear a girdle?" And I said, "Don't you think you should mind your own business?"
Them fighting words.
And I think I had. Everybody else was honestly, I was surprised at how welcoming and open everybody was when I got there.
Yeah, I mean, from what I hear, it's pretty, like, cliquish, but that's just an outsider perspective, so it's good to hear that some people were friendly.
Oh, absolutely.
Speaking of sisterly moments, what was your favorite Drag Race moment or lip sync?
Favorite Drag Race moment? I'm going to have to give it to Drag Race UK, season 2. I mean, I know that's a little bit of an out there from our traditional timeline of Drag Race.
No, I love
but
it.
That H&M meltdown was just iconic.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And just all the shock of the girls, that whole episode, like the shock of the girls leaving in the middle of filming because of COVID and coming back and having one of my favorite contestants not be able to return because of COVID. It was just like the whole episode was an iconic moment in Drag Race history.
Yeah, it's definitely this season is going to go down in the history books as being one of the best seasons in general. So
yes. And then, like, as far as lip syncs, Credit where credit's due. I don't think this queen gets talked about enough. Dita Ritz.
Yes. I mean, she gets talked about damn near every week on this podcast because we all love her.
Well, good. I'm glad we're standing her because she deserves a lot of love.
Yes. All right. Let's get into this current season. It's no Dita Ritz, but it'll do.
It'll do.
Season 13, episode 8, Social Media, the Unverified Rusical. We start out the episode with the dear Lala Ri heading back to the house. How did you feel about
that? Oh, I love Lala. I loved Lala Ri. I don't think it was her time to go. I don't think she belonged in the bottom that episode. However, in the lip sync, she did not win that lip sync. But I don't think she should have had the lip sync in the first place. So I'm very bitter about her.
I kind of felt like she won the lip sync. I felt like it was one of those too close to call lip syncs. But
yes, it could. Yes, I could see that too. But to me, it just had that like dancer sharpness.
Yeah.
And like punctuated all the moves so fiercely. And I think that just came across as maybe like a little bit more.
That's fair. I just felt like the camera followed Elliot a little bit more and didn't give us as much of Lala Ri as we needed to see a full picture. But
okay, I could see that.
You know.
Actually, we couldn't see that because they didn't show us.
Right, exactly. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's a new week. The queens walk into the workroom kind of sad about Lala leaving, and now the bald-headed brigade is just Simone and Candy. I didn't know that this was a self-identified term. The first time I heard it was somebody else saying it about them, and I was like, oh, was that a real?
Right.
But apparently they wear it as a badge of honor.
I thought there were a lot of self-identified terms flying around this season, like mean girls and bald-headed brigade. But
like the winning team, the tops and the bottoms. Like, why are these girls so clicky?
Absolutely.
Olivia's proud of herself because she won. And Utica can't help but feel like if she didn't give that part to Utica, she might have been the winner of that challenge. And I mean, I feel her.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think that's wrong to assume because we've heard week after week and seen week after week how great Utica is at like expressions and physical comedy and using her body to emphasize her goofiness and like quirkiness. And I think that mime character would have been perfect for her. She just kind of rolled over and let Olivia have it. So that really is kind of her fault.
Yeah, but she learns this episode that she doesn't need to do that anymore. Like, sweetheart, it's a competition first and foremost. Don't ever forget that, okay?
Right.
My favorite part, though, was when they were like, she doesn't have a mean bone in her body. And Utica says, I can't believe she won with that hairline.
That was great.
We were all thinking it.
Absolutely.
The uncut lace of it all. Anyway, so
uncut, unblended, unfiltered.
Very that, especially when you're on TV and it's like HD, like, girl, you gotta fix that. But then we get to Denali and she is bitter boots. Like, oh my gosh. It's all too much.
She stays bitter like a rhubarb.
Like, Denali, come on. You can't win every week. I mean, well, you can't win any week, but just because you wore an outfit that you really loved, we get it. You love lamps, but it feels like she keeps lamps. Getting overlooked, and you just got to push harder.
And here we are with another self-appointed title. She self-appointed her dress as the best outfit on the whole runway that day, and I don't necessarily agree that was true either. So she can crown herself. She can make herself a winner in her mind.
Okay, and shouldn't we all be winners in our own mind?
Oh, I'm winning every day, honey.
Absolutely, but I do agree with you about the self-appointed title. Like, I think to her, best outfit meant my outfit has the most stones and the most intricacies. So that means it's clearly the best, right?
I guess. In her world, maybe.
Right, but Evie Oddly could walk into the room, wear paper, and then beat you. So.
Right. Or the Vixen can come in with one of her little glitter craft paper outfits that she can
literally
show in an hour. Girl, those blow my mind every time I see them. I'm like, how is that glitter construction paper from Walgreens?
Right. And that's because she has an eye and the, like, you know, know-how to turn it into something. I mean, she's canceled, but the same thing goes for Nina Bonita Brown. And her paper, like, her, like, prosthetic work is usually paper, so.
Yes, paper or Play-Doh, and that baffles me, too.
You know? I mean, you make it work, okay? Drag queens make things.
But, yeah, they're definitely great examples of how you don't need to have the most extravagant outfit or dripping in beads or stones to execute a flawless look or a creative vision.
Absolutely. And those are my favorite kind of drag queens, because to me, drag is the ultimate magic trick, taking nothing and turning it into something. Okay.
100%.
So, Denali, I just want to say this for, like, everyone, back to Denali. Sweetie, runways don't matter. Runways are tiebreakers. If two people did well in the challenge, it'll come down to the runway. But the runway will not save you.
Right. Kamora Hall is a perfect example of that, because that dragon runway was sickening and just sure did not save her from that terrible treat
before. Right. It's the main challenge comes first, then the runway, and never the mini challenge. Those are completely arbitrary.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, speaking of mini challenges, there's no mini challenge this week because they're doing a whole ass mother tucking rusical, and it's all themed around social media. How lovely.
Wonderful. The best thing we could possibly talk about in today's society is social media.
Right. I'm like instantly triggered. But this is really a weird thing. Because half of it was just, I don't know, like, all the characters were strange. I know that they were portraying, like, social media instead of people, but it was just very bizarre. It definitely isn't Glamazonian Airways. It's not going to stay in my mind.
No, and that is the best one.
Right?
Glamazonian Airways is so solid.
And, oh, and the All-Stars one with Alaska and all the Joan of Arc, freaking Annie Oakley. Alyssa Edwards. Oh, so good. So good. That one is one of my favorites because that one was just like super well written and performed. But anyway, back to this one. They get to pick their own roles. I love this. Like, they don't let production put their hand in it. They just let the girls create their own drama. And did they?
Oh, boy, did they.
Simone chooses Instaglam right off the bat. Olivia gets Marky Tuckenberg, who's innocent but not so innocent, which everyone thinks Olivia
is. Typecasting.
Do you think that they're building up to some sort of, like, Olivia's super shady moment where she becomes a diva or something, or is she going to keep this the whole way through?
It almost feels that way because there's been commentary on it the past couple of weeks from various girls, but I don't know. I feel like they'll pull that out in the end if maybe she's a top five and they don't want us to hate them if they don't make it to the top four. They're going to be like, well, she was a mean girl at the end of the day. So maybe, but I don't know. They might let her keep this, like, cute, sassy little quiet diva thing going.
See, I love it. I love it. I resonate with it because people always tell me if I were to ever get on the show that I'm too nice. And I'm like, sweetie, that's outside of competition. So.
Oh, okay. So you see some similarities between you.
Oh, well, I mean, I just see that she is very, like, nice. I would be very kind, but I'm also not going to stop myself from stirring the pot a little bit or throwing some shade where it needs to be delivered.
Okay. And that's why I think you would be great TV.
I love that concept. Okay. Tell RuPaul that next time you see her.
Okay. We'll add this to our promo reel for the tape.
Yes. So Denali is like, I want Foxy or Lady Tweets. Utica's like, I want Lady Tweets and I'll take it. Candy kind of decides it for her. She's like, so Utica, Lady Tweets, okay. And then Rosé is like, I want Foxy.
Right. She's like, I'm not getting stuck with Russian robot. If it's choice between the main girl or this girl, I want the main girl.
Yeah. And it's so funny because somebody, I think either Olivia or Gottmik asked her, like, what's your other option? And she looks at them like, what do you mean?
Right. Like, there was no other option, really.
Rosé is going to have that leading role. I don't care. And Utica's like, you know what? I've been super nice. Not today. All right. And she decides to keep Lady Sweeps, which I think is a great idea. I think is probably the only part in the whole thing that seemed like it was right up her alley. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
I could
maybe
see her.
Maybe she could have done the weird TikTok girl thing.
Oh, yeah. I like that being Elliot because I didn't like that part very much. Anyway, so... Because Utica keeps Lady Tweets, Elliot suggests that they do an audition. And what did you think about this moment?
Honestly, that's another thing that maybe could have been a runner-up for the most iconic moment in Drag Race history. Like, seeing them literally sit back and be like, okay, let's do it. That was hilarious to me.
Oh my gosh. Like, I can't believe they made them audition, but I would also be living for that moment. Like, bitch, okay.
You well, and I can't believe that the girls, they went with it. They're like, okay, we are going to audition. I would have been like, no, that's not how this works. I'm just going to do this.
Nope. I would just be like, okay, you want to see it? Let's go. Let's go. Prove that you got what it takes. And Rosé did. Made Denali look like a fool.
Yes, it looked like somebody who was going to their first community theater audition versus somebody who's like auditioned for every music program in the country and has their whole repertoire ready and to go.
It was very that. I kind of felt bad for Denali, but she did a good job. She didn't back down.
No, she held her own. Yeah.
Yeah, she totally held her own. And she doesn't have a bad voice, just not as good as Rosé, obviously.
Right. Rosé is literally like a Broadway diva.
Okay, like, and that's the kind of thing that I, like, looking behind the curtain, always think about is, like, sweetheart, read the room. Rosé came here to do the musical challenge. This is her episode. Let her have this.
Right, yes. You had your little duck walk moment. You had your little first challenge win. Let Rosé have her moment, and you'd be the Russian robot.
Exactly. Like, if this were a dance challenge, then y'all could maybe duke it out. But go ahead and let her have it.
Right.
So then they actually get a really cool walkthrough, which I think is cool because it wasn't RuPaul. It was actually Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
And it was, like, live. We were confused at the viewing party. Like, is this live or is this, like, pre-recorded?
I'm like, why are they talking to the TV screen? That she cannot hear them. But then she could.
But then she could, and they were like, want to see this? And she's like, yeah. And they showed her. It was so cool. So great technology. I wonder if it was just like an iPad set up below the screen. I don't know. I just always wonder about the inner workings.
You know, it was probably brought to us by Zoom like everything else in 2020.
Oh, yes. Very that. Just slap that Drag Race banner on it and no one will ever know.
Ever, yeah.
So, did you have any fun or interesting moments from this Zoom call?
I really just liked the fact that she was so open and honest with the girls about all their questions. And I did think it was smart of them. Nobody really asked general questions. After seeing the interview and then seeing what parts they all had, they all seemed to ask intelligent questions about their part. And as somebody who does musical theater and like is into acting, I was happy to see that they didn't squander that opportunity and that they had such a brilliant actress there to like guide them through that.
Absolutely. That's the thing. Like, you get 5 minutes with Anne Hathaway, you better ask an important question. Okay. And we had Gottmik asking, what do you do when you don't get the part that you really want for Denali? Which was, it ended up being great because she was like, you know what, you steal the show anyway, and that's what she did, kind of. Anyway,
shady questions might have compelled her to take it to the end.
True, but she also reveals that she was the 9th choice for Devil Wears Prada. Can you believe?
That you want to talk about a plot twist in an episode? I was so shook when I heard that. Like, I can't even imagine anybody else. And I'm like, who's the other eight people? It better all have been Meryl Streep again. Like,
I wonder, who do you think could have been on that list to play that role?
I'm going to say Anna Kendrick.
Okay, I could see Anna Kendrick, but this is before her moment, you know.
Oh, you're right. This is the little teeny bopper at that time, probably.
Right. No, I mean, I see it, though. Like, she could have definitely been in the running. Maybe, like, a Kristen Bell.
Okay, like, fresh off of Veronica Mars, height of her television career, getting into...
Was it that long ago?
I feel like The Devil Wears Prada is old, sis.
Oh, my God. Are we old?
I come to that realization every day. I work with a 19-year-old at my day job who is, like, literally a constant TikToker. And the only time they reference the song I know is from TikTok. They're like, oh, I heard that Kylie Minogue song on TikTok. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I like the TikToks. It's kind of fun. But it took me a while to get there. And I'm still very much a millennial.
Right.
So... Devil Wears Prada came out in 2006, and that doesn't sound like it was that long ago, but it's been, like, 15 years.
So. Oh, God. Girl, I was 14. I was literally a freshman in high school.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Well, you know.
Yeah, don't let that in the podcast. I want people to hear how old I am.
Redacted. So she gives great advice. I really love that they did this. I hope that they continue to do stuff like this. Obviously, they couldn't have her in the room with them because COVID, but just having someone zoom in opens up the availability to anyone who wants to do it, really.
Right. So, now they don't even have to be bothered to leave their house. They can be a guest star on Drag Race from anywhere.
Yep. I love that. Maybe Beyonce will zoom in when I'm on the show.
Why hasn't she been there yet? Hello?
Because she ain't got time for no damn Drag Race. She busy raising her babies. But then we get into recording with Michelle. They get to lay down their own vocals with the seduction star herself, Michelle Visage. What did you think about that?
You know, I only know one seduction song, and it's that one that's like, it takes to make a thing go right, and that's literally it. So when Rosé was like, oh no, Michelle can sing, look up Oh Holy Night, go Google it, I was like, oh, okay, and I did.
Wait, did you Google it? Is it good?
Oh, yes, ma'am, it's fantastic. Actually, did Rosé say that? I don't even know who said it. Somebody said look it up, and I did look it up, and they were right. It was fantastic.
I don't remember hearing that on the show, but it sounds like good advice. I'm going to check it out. Everyone go listen to Michelle Visage. Give her some streams. I'm sure she could use it. That was right. It. So anyway, I was like, I don't want Michelle to come for me. I love you, Michelle. But we get into rehearsal and or recording, rather, and Tina does a great job. She's given this Ethel Merman. She's narrating the show. She's making Michelle laugh. And, you know, good for her.
Yeah, and that's really all you got to do is, like, you don't have to be great as long as you're making people laugh and enjoy whatever you are doing.
Right. My thing is pick a character and go balls to the wall with it, you know? It doesn't have to be the best vocal. You just have to have a decent vocal. And if you are unsure, it's going to come across. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And we definitely see that.
Yeah, coming up. I'm trying to get to it. Then we have Olivia, who does a good job. She fancies herself a musician. I won't say a singer, but she plays the piano and she can sing well.
She can match pitch. She did a couple of runs that everybody cheered for. I wasn't necessarily living for those. She sounded more like one of those sticks that you get in like the science museum and you shake it and it's like she's a musician, I guess.
She's a piano player, and we all know that piano player who like can sing, but it's not like singer, you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Not every piano player can be Alicia Keys.
Okay. But Michelle likes her little run, and she says okay, whoever has the best run shall win. And I'm like, do you have the authority to say that? Like,
right. I'm pretty sure if you said that at the judging table, Rue's going to cut you off and say, bring back my girls.
Right, exactly. Rue's like, the final decision is mine, Michelle. Chill out. Then we get to Simone, who has trouble with her verse in saying oogle and ogle. I thought the word was oogle or ogle. No, I thought it was ogle.
See, I think I always thought it was ogle. And so when I heard it, it's ogle, but that was the first time I ever heard ogle. I thought ogle, and then when she said oogle.
Oh, no, I thought ogle too. Hold on. It seems more fun to say, what are you oogling at?
Right, yes. But I guess it's ogle. It's an opulence moment all over again.
But ogle sounds like ocular, you know, dealing with eyes.
Right, ogles, goggles.
It's just goggles without the go. I don't... I mean, or I guess it would be Google, oogle. Anyway, we've spent too much time on this word, and so did Simone, because she did it like 4 or 5 times and still couldn't get it right. I don't know. Maybe it's the pressure, but I don't understand how people can't make a change on the spot.
Right. Like, you're getting the exact correction.
Right. Like, I feel like the
interpretation for mistake. Like, it is like, no, this is what it is.
Right. Just say this. Like, when Kimora did her, I was rooting for us, that thing. I feel like it was kind of unclear based on what they told her. Like, they didn't say explicitly, put the emphasis here. They basically just said, how would Tyra Banks say it? So that is a little confusing, but this was just like, here's the word, here's how to say it, do it.
Right.
And maybe it's because we're like musical theater people and we're used to people cutting us off and saying, uh-uh, do it like this. So.
And that really might be it, because like, I've never understood why they get so shaken in moments like that. But I mean, I'm also not there, so I don't know.
That's the thing. We are speculating from our homes. So I don't know, but I like to think that I would be able to implement the changes quickly, because I don't want the edit of me messing the same thing up over and over. That is just not cute.
Right. It doesn't ever look good for anybody.
Right. Then we get to Candy Muse. She's a star. You know, she's Candy Muse, and she's an icon. But she says that her part has a lot of S's for someone with a lisp.
I loved that part. I really laughed. At least she's I love a self-aware queen.
Absolutely. And it's not in a way that makes it seem like she's getting out in front of the joke before anyone else makes it out of some sort of insecurity. It's just that she knows what makes her funny, and she's not afraid to, like, embrace that. So I like that about her too. And even though her verse isn't the best, her vocals aren't the best, her performance wasn't the best, she's still an entertaining queen.
Right. Honestly, for me with Candy, she doesn't have to do great. I just want to see whatever she is going to do.
Isn't that it? I had the same conversation with someone earlier today where I was like, you know, I really enjoy Candy. And it's not because she's the best or that I want her to win. It's because she's damn good television.
Yes. It's honestly like the same thing with Trixie Mattel. I'm happy she won All Stars 3. Sure, whatever. Did she do great? Absolutely not. But I enjoyed watching her do it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Trixie, for me, I very much enjoy her as a drag queen. She's super talented and she's gotten there. But at the time of Drag Race, I was just like, I had such high hopes. And I don't think that you've like shown what makes you so great. And I just kind of missed that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But now she's got it. She's got her music out. She is literally the children's favorite drag queen.
Like, oh, girl, RuPaul better watch out for Miss Trixie Mattel, honey.
Okay, her and Katya can do anything.
Right.
Then we get to Elliot, who does like a Billie Eilish thing, and it was meh.
Yeah, it was meh.
And then we get to Utica, who has some struggles with her very wordy, tongue-twistery verse. But I don't know. It feels like a misdirect.
I wonder.
Right. We'll have to see how she does in choreo, which comes next. So then we get into Olivia doing her Marky Tuckenberg choreography with Jamal Sims. And it's good. What'd you think?
You know, the choreography bits are never really my favorite to watch or digest. I just kind of like, it's a moment that happens because what they show us is not necessarily what's going to be the final result.
Of course.
Or how they do it all. So, I mean, like anybody learning choreography could look terrible for the first 10 minutes and that's what they show us. And then they show up on the day and they've got it better than anybody. So I just kind of always take this part with a little grain of salt.
That's so true. And that I think they use this part specifically to fit their narrative because they can show us the beginning of one person learning and the end of another person learning and make it look like, wow, this person's a dancer. And we don't really know like who struggled at the beginning or, you know, it all fits their narrative.
Absolutely.
Speaking of, Simone struggles. And then we get back to Utica, who also struggles. And I'm just like,
yes, this was the struggle bus rehearsal for sure.
Right, which I think is important to show because it's going to come back around. Pretty soon y'all are going to have to be in a RuPaul video. So you might want to get it together first.
Well, are they still doing that? You think they're going to do that this year?
Maybe. It depends. Do you think we're having a Zoom reunion?
I hope not. They filmed all this after COVID. They could do this, you know, again. Maybe not going to have this whole live grand finale with the four-way lip sync thing, but I think they could definitely return to the like season three type of finale where they've done it
in
later.
The studio.
Yeah.
Yes, in the studio. You don't need an audience, just do it on the stage.
Yeah, I could not watch up another stage. Zoom finale or Zoom reunion or RuPaul in a latex mask ever again. That was trash.
I don't want to see any fucking hoodies on the Zoom reunion. Yeah, it was pretty rough. And I'm sure she would love us to forget that, but I won't, because you're going to tell these queens not to wear H&M, bitch. You couldn't even put yourself in drag, all right?
Hello.
Hi, if you're listening, RuPaul, I love you.
To dress for seasons 15 through 20.
So, Rosé excels. Duh.
Yeah, she destroys it.
Yeah, she's been waiting for this. Like, this is the whole reason she lasted this long, was just out of spite and the need to be in the musical episode.
Yes, like, I'm doing it for Jan.
Okay. I don't even think she's doing it for Jan. I think she's doing it for herself. So, then we get to Mick and Denali. Mick and Denali, who are the Russian bods, they are told to match energy, which is code for you got to bring the energy up, Denali.
Right, yes, absolutely.
Because you can tell she doesn't want to be there. She's not happy with the role. So she's not really, like, doing it to the best of her ability.
Yeah, she's still bitter boots.
Which I'm like, girl, you got to shake that off because this could be how you win the episode.
Absolutely. You never know. Like, I think about Silky with that Oprah part. She literally came out for 45 seconds, and she won.
Right. That's the thing. You never know. You never know what flavor they're going to want that week. But Jamal gives them one last bit of advice, which is don't be the weak link, which is great, I guess. But that's just so stressful. It's like, hey, don't be that one bitch who's going home, is basically what he said.
Yeah, I feel like that's not even good advice. I feel like that was just a given, but it was like, okay, thank you for making me feel worse.
Right. Like, especially if you already know that you're the weak link going into it, it's like, oh, okay. So then we get to them doing their makeup because it is elimination day. But before we get into that, we are going to take a break. And we're back. So we get into them doing their makeup for the main challenge. And we have a little mirror moment with Candy Muse. about sitting alone in the VIP. Are you aware of this phenomenon?
I am. Candy and I have actually been social media friends for a very long time. And she put that song out actually before she even got on the show, or before the show aired, I should say.
Yeah.
So she's got a whole little single of it and everything. I'm definitely aware of the phenomenon of sitting alone in the VIP.
Yes. I remember seeing it just because people started recreating it. And then I was like, what is this? And then I saw the original tweet and I was like, oh, girl. So here it is. I'm going to do a dramatic reading and then you can do the Candy Muse reading.
Okay,
I'm at
okay.
this gig right now, alone. And everyone has wanted a photo with me. But no one has asked me how my day was. So I'm just sitting here in the VIP, all alone, feeling alone. This industry really is a lonely one, huh? So tragic.
I mean, the tortured artist is real.
Okay. Complete with the picture. Like, it's just so funny.
Yes, it is so hilarious to me because I've been that person is literally sitting alone in VIP, and it does kind of feel like that for a moment. Like, people will come up and take a picture with you, or they'll even buy you a drink, but then they disappear again and you're literally just sitting there by yourself. So I relate to it, but it's just so funny that she really went out of her way to write this like heartfelt
right.
song about it.
You gotta like kind of read the room, and it's like, girl, you're also in VIP. Where are your friends? Like,
right, girl. Are they doing drugs in the bathroom?
Okay, like, there, you can't think that the people that are gonna ask you for a photo are gonna like ask you about your day. Like, sure, that would be great. But imagine if everybody who wanted a picture with Rihanna asked her about her day. She'd be like, leave me the fuck alone.
She'd be like, yeah, my day was better before you came in here, interrupted me and bothered me.
Okay, exactly. So it was a cute moment, but I love that she, you know, capitalized on it, the song with Alaska. It's very cute and it'll be an iconic moment forever for all of her career. So good
and
for her.
Stars just like us.
Then we get Tina talking about her interaction with the stars because she used to date Graham Norton.
Yeah. That was a moment.
That was a moment in history. I'm just like, that is such a, like, looking at the pictures, I'm just like, ah, yikes, the frosted tips. It's too much.
Yeah, now tell me you dated Andy Cohen and I'll be impressed.
Ah! I mean, I don't know. Maybe she got around. It looked like it was right after her boy band days. You know, it makes sense. She was a twink back then.
Was the only twink.
Then Denali takes us completely left and says, did anyone ever have crushes on like Aladdin?
Girl, that was such like a random thing to talk about.
Simone's like, animated people? It was like, okay, let's not front like Aladdin was not sexy.
I mean, she did name Aladdin and Hercules, and they both are fine, I'm not gonna lie. She could have added Archer to the list. Archer's a sexy cartoon.
Okay, but that's like adult cartoons. She's talking about Disney.
Yeah, I know. I should not still have an interest in a cartoon man.
Right. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hercules.
I'm going to go talk
ideal.
To my therapist about that after this. Don't worry.
So then we get to the runway, and RuPaul comes out in this very cute business attire. What did you think of her look?
Okay. When she walked out, I was gagged. So stunning. More, and I saw her sitting in it, I actually hated it.
Oh.
It was big on her. I feel like the shoulders were just a little much.
Oh, okay. Well, I, you know, from listening to RuPaul, know that she likes an exaggerated shoulder because it makes the waist look smaller.
Oh, okay.
So, like, she likes to go for that big, like, big shoulders, skinny waist, big hips, sort of flare out thing. And
okay.
It makes sense for that purpose, but I definitely see what you mean. It seems a little bulky, but...
But I love the color and I love the fabric.
And I love the hair. She was giving me Vanessa Williams.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Now, I would love to see them do something together.
Yes, absolutely. But then we get to the actual challenge. And it's very interesting, as we said earlier. I didn't know what to think of it at first because I didn't know what was going on. Like, Tina comes out and she's giving her best and she does a really good job. Like,
yeah, she's giving me Liza Minnelli cabaret realness. That's very what her character was based off of. I thought she was really delivering.
Yes. And they like said that she stopped lip syncing before her final note and she didn't even notice that, which, you know, that happens sometimes.
You just get lost in the moment. I mean, and realistically, on that final note, she was like up, then on the ground, dying, then back up again. And so what? She missed the last quarter note of that song. It is fine.
There was a lot happening, but the important part is that she didn't miss any of this choreography, and she nailed it.
Oh, yeah. She didn't miss a beat.
Then we get to Miss Olivia Lux as Marky Tuckenberg, and I just love this wig.
You know, it's giving me when those Rue Girls did the Pepsi commercial a couple Super Bowls ago. It's giving me very that, and I hated that wig, so I'm going to let them keep that in the Drag Race family.
Ah, I like this one. I wonder if it feels like they had these made and these costumes given to them because Olivia's wearing jeggings.
Right, and a cutoff shirt.
Right, like, it's just like, this is weird. I don't think that they brought this. They couldn't have because they didn't know what part they were playing, but I don't think that these outfits came from their wardrobe either. I think they were supplied. So
right, and if that did come from her wardrobe, it was for her hotel wardrobe when she's locked up in that room.
Exactly. Olivia does a good job, though. She's singing well, she's dancing well, she's acting well. Good for her.
Yeah, I just don't. I think she did a great job with her part. I just didn't really connect with her part at all. I honestly didn't even recognize what musical they were referencing with her particular character. Mm-hmm. So that also threw me a little bit because I think I spent the whole time trying to figure out who are you spoofing? Who are you supposed to be?
Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't think too much into like the musical references. I was just honestly trying to figure out what the hell the story was.
that too.
But, you know, as Mark Zuckerberg, it's going to be really hard to make a connection because he's barely human. So.
Right.
He's like some sort of reptilian, like alien.
He's a lizard person for sure.
For sure. If anyone is, it's him. then we get into Simone, Miss Instaglam. What did you think about her?
I feel like she is far more successful on actual Instagram than she could ever be as Instaglam. That was just rough. Like, I've seen her dance better than that. I've seen her.
Well, she's doing choreography
better than that. It was rough. And none of the colors were Instagram colors, really.
I don't understand what they were going for with the look for this. I think they just kind of wanted to get her because the look was bad. The choreography wasn't even that great, even though she didn't do it as well as it was intended. None of it was good.
Right. It was very sus.
Then we get to Miss Utica, and she does a great job. I love a misdirect.
Yes, she actually really, really nailed it. She committed to the part. She had a patter song, which is very popular in Pirates of Penzance and those types of operettas. Mm-hmm. And it's very sing-songy, like spoken word almost. And then they transition into like the Hamilton vibe rap style of that, which is the modern interpretation of patter songs. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting to see them incorporate actual things like that into the musical. And it was great to see her really take that and just run with it.
Right. The writers definitely did a good job with this one. Like, there are some really good musical theater gays working on these musicals.
And it's about time.
Then we got Candy, and it's a little messy.
It was a hot mess. From the wig to
But
the song, they really auto-tuned her. If the wig
was provided, what was she supposed to do about it?
I mean, you're right. It's not her fault. I honestly don't think that the way she looked is her fault by any means. I just, this is another one I don't understand why that was the character choice they went with. Like, Snapchat wasn't one of the apps that they represented. They could have done something with that.
Yeah, why LinkedIn? They went
with LinkedIn, like that, nobody really actually uses that.
Professionals do, okay? She's a profesh, sis. Anyway, then we get Miss TikTok, or Talk Tick, whatever. Yeah. Two T's, three K's. It's
two T's,
okay.
Three K's, no sense.
It's okay. She doesn't do a bad job because she's a dancer, so that's good, but...
Yeah, but I did not get Billie Eilish from it. I did not get... I didn't understand the flashlight thing. I don't know. That whole part, and again, was just like a miss for me.
It was weird.
She did bad with it. I guess she did what she was supposed to do, but I just didn't care about it.
Yeah. What did you think about Gottmik and Denali?
I think they did fine. I think Gottmik was great. I think Denali was adequate. I don't think it was like a show-stopping number by any means, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I thought they did okay, like good enough to be safe for sure. Which is safe. Denali's safe word. Then we have Foxy, aka Rosé. She killed it. Like, I mean, she did what she came there to do.
Absolutely. She came in a high energy, hit the stage right in the center, hit every mark perfectly, vocals on 10. I didn't necessarily love the look, but again, that's not her fault. That's what they gave her. But it was a slay. She really slayed that part.
Right. And I get what they're trying to do. Like, she's the, you know, sex worker or burlesque performer or any of the women who are on these platforms who get banned and shadow banned and blocked for showing their bodies. And that's why she had her skirt halfway up the whole time. So it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, I've been that girl before too.
I too cannot go live on TikTok right now because I have been blocked. But it's okay. I'm still disputing it. So anyway, we get through that and we get to the runway, which I'm excited about. How did you feel about Yellow Gorgeous?
Yellow's never been my favorite color, but I do like it on other people. So I was excited to see everyone's interpretation of yellow. I like when they get those just like kind of generic concept challenges and then really take it somewhere.
Yes, I think that's my favorite part about the runway is when somebody does something different with it than what you would expect. So what Absolutely. Would you do for a yellow runway?
For a yellow runway, I had a couple of ideas. My initial go-to was like a golden shower moment.
Oh my God.
I just think that'd be really fun and like a really campy reference to queer culture. Mm-hmm. But I think I would also really rock like a banana look.
That would be so funny.
Like, nobody did a banana anything.
Huh?
Like, nobody thought to do banana anything. Like, no Chiquita banana, no nothing. I'm like, y'all could have done all kinds of stuff.
Right. I could see a dress, like, with a mermaid sort of, like, bottom, but it's all bananas. And then, like, you walk down the runway like you're talking on a banana phone. That would be so campy and funny.
I think so, too.
I love that. I would have probably done something artsy and done like, you know, that story of how Van Gogh used to eat yellow paint because he thought it would make him happy on the inside.
No, so like, I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yellow is the color of happiness. So he thought that he could get the happiness inside him by eating the yellow paint. Very tortured soul. I would do a look where it looked like I had been like eating yellow paint and it's like dripping down my costume or something like that. I think that would have been cute.
That'd be
sick. Just to do something different.
You should still do that because I want to see that.
okay, I will write it down and I will bring it to life. Mark my words. If I don't, somebody call me out.
I will Mark Zuckerberg your words.
Ah! Okay.
All
We've
right.
talked about our runways. Now let's talk about the ones that actually matter. Let's see what's coming down the yellow brick road. First up, it's Tina Burner in a taxi look. What did you think?
You know what? I really love this look. I think it's the best she's ever looked. Not ever looked. It's the best she's looked this season.
Yeah.
I like that like vintage Betty Page style hair on her. Her face was soft. Her brows finally looked like they were in the right spot. It was a serve.
Yes, it was very cute. I love it because she's actually from New York, so it makes sense. And like it was just enough camp with just enough glamour. And like you said, it is the best she's looked. So
absolutely. Shout out to and you, I loved man. Her, loved her headlight titties. That was just cute.
Right? Just enough camp. And then her name on the back with the license plate, genius. So
yes.
Good for her. Gorgeous outfit. Then we have Olivia Lux looking like a million bucks.
Agreed. That, you know, I'm a Southern girl. I love a good pageant drag. This was very like, she's going to go to Miss Continental and the category was yellow. And she had the crystal beads. She had the ostrich feathers. The only thing I did not care for, Miss Olivia likes to wear that hair real low.
Yeah.
That's been an
also
ongoing thing
partial to wearing my, huh?
That's an ongoing thing for her.
Yeah, I think it's also because it swirls forward in that little curl. So she mm-hmm. literally has no forehead in this one. But I like to wear my wigs low too because I feel like I have a big forehead out of drag. So I kind of want to minimize it.
okay.
So I contour really hard and then I push that wig down maybe 2 inches to make it from like a 6 head to a 4 head again.
a good Teresa Giudice hairline.
But never that messy Miss Olivia Lux. But this hairline was good because she had the hair covering it. So we couldn't see if the lace was cut poorly or not. Then we have Simone. And she's here by the throne. What did you think about this look?
To me, she's like the fashion girl this season. And I just didn't hit the mark for me. I love the coat. I love the color yellow that she went with. I love the hair and makeup, but I just wasn't here for this look didn't deserve boy body. This look needed a little tit tit or something.
Something like there was just something about it that wasn't curling all the way over for me. It just was a little too simple, I guess. And I know that fashion is like that sometimes, but I don't know. I think the yellow jacket maybe took away from it. Because it's a cool outfit. It's like the suspenders, the garters, it all ties in cohesively. It's very like reflective and yellow. It's cute, but I don't know. The best part was the hair for me.
Yes, agreed.
Then we get to Utica. In this sideless gown, which is a reference to something medieval?
She said it was like a medieval period piece. And like, I appreciate a reference just
on
this one. Like, I liked the hair. I just hated everything else about it. The straps look like furry backpack straps. The fabrics that she chose to go with are not necessarily like medieval fabrics or anything reminiscent of that period. So that kind of takes me out of it too. It was just a weird choice to me.
That's fair. I'm looking at these sideless gowns now. You can look at the screen and see, but that's literally what they looked like, girl. They were hideous back then too. So, like, it has fur in a big circle where your arm goes through. And then, like, fabric and buttons down the middle with a big drapey bottom. Like, it was just sideless gowns, but they were apparently too sexy. So, here's where she went wrong. Why? I was about to ask, why is it yellow?
Wait, why yellow, that? Why that?
I get why it's yellow, but why wasn't the bottom like a different? I don't like the pattern patchwork. Like you said, those fabrics just take it out of medieval for me. And I feel like the dress that they're wearing underneath the sideless gown is still cute, or at least like form fitting. And it feels like theirs goes down to show a little bit more hip, which I think could have been a, like a sexy moment.
Yes.
And I don't think that hers is giving that. Hers is sitting on her body, kind of looking like a prop that she's carrying around, like she's a tree in a musical or something.
Yeah, or like those girls who stand in the middle of tables and sell cupcakes and champagne.
Yes, yes. It's very that, except that would have been way more exciting.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine one of those like champagne skirts, but it was full of yellow like cups? That could have been your piss play joke.
I love that.
Oh, that would have been so funny.
Consider it done.
But yeah, that's Utica. The hair's cool. I like the hair.
Yes, the hair was definitely a serve for me. It was an interesting shape and texture of hair. I just hated everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, good concept. Didn't like the execution.
Absolutely.
So anyway, then we get to Candy Muse. And it's so funny because we talked about what we would do at the viewing party. And I said, Beyonce from Lemonade. You actually suggested that because I was talking about wearing a homecoming inspired Beyonce. And then Candy Muse comes wearing the freaking hold up dress. And it's gorgeous.
And honestly, I low-key, I'm glad somebody did wear it, because when I think of yellow, that's one of the first yellow looks that comes to mind is Beyonce in that yellow dress.
Yes, 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 yes. It's so gorgeous. Like, it's just beautiful and ruffled. She wears these flowers in her hair, this blonde wig, and her makeup is very subtle, and it's beautiful. Like, shout out to Candy. Gorge.
Yes, it was a good moment for her, for sure.
Then next, we have Elliot with two T's. So, at the viewing party, I was like, this look is cute. This is so well done. There's nothing technically bad about it. I love the structured sleeves. I love the corset underneath, because you can see in the taxi or the checkerboard in the front and the back, unlike Tina's where it was just a small belt and it was easy to kind of miss. The hair looks great. I love that there was the $100,000 fare on the inside, and she had a steering wheel prop and the acting. Like, I don't like Elliot. Y'all know this. So for me to be giving her these compliments, the look has to be right. And it was. Then she got on the internet. She got on the internet, on Bill Gates's internet, and said, I took inspiration from The Taxi and The Wiz.
Right.
And there was collective Black confusion, because if you've seen The Wiz, the taxis and The Wiz refused to pick up the people, and that's why they had to ease on down the road. So it became a bit of a controversy overnight.
It sure did.
Yeah, yeah. And you had a little experience with that. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, girl, I'd be happy to. So I, honestly, since really the beginning of the Black Lives Matter big movement that happened around May, I have been doing a lot of what Lady Gaga calls unlearning, and trying to make a more conscious effort to be a better and more vocal ally. And yes, part of that is not allowing other people to make comments or statements that are tone deaf or incorrect or implied in any type of way, and doing it in a way that's not hateful but educating. And I saw this circulating around the internet. It was originally brought to my attention by a Black trans woman on Twitter who posted the look and kind of reinforced what the real meaning of was that taxi in The Wiz. So then it's getting shared on Facebook. Of course, Elliot sees it. She decides to comment on it, basically saying that people are making assumptions about her. And that's not true. It's one thing to assume, but when you're literally posting this as your reference and your inspiration for the look that you've done, in addition to all the posts that have been coming out about you talking about discounted Black Barbie dolls, or I'm using air quotes, aggressive Black girl magic versus air quotes, elegant Black girl magic, that's not okay. And so I simply said, we're not really assuming anything. This is what you posted, and this is what somebody is telling you that reference means. All you really have to do is say, I'm wrong, and take it down, or whatever, you know, do whatever you can to fix the mistake. She did not like that. Instead, she started blaming other people for personally causing her mental health problems. She called me an asshole. She said we're idiots, just all kinds of stuff. So I went back with her a little bit, and then she blocked me. And then she went to Twitter and decided to tweet about me with a nice image of a trash grabber and said, y'all really out here reaching. And I said, well, we don't have to reach when you put it right there for us to get, sis.
Okay.
So that's my little back and forth with her. And I tried to put her on a poster and capitalize on my moment, but they weren't having that.
They said, oh, we are not getting sued.
Okay. Right. They're like, we don't have time for that today.
My thing is, this could have been nothing. You could have posted the picture, said toot toot, beep beep, kept it moving.
Girl, right. You could have just been a taxi. You had to be the one taxi, an inanimate object. You had to be the one inanimate object that is problematic.
Okay. And like, the thing is it's not even like outside of the realm of possibility for people to understand, at least to me. Maybe it's because I'm Black, but it's harder to get a taxi as a person of color. It's harder to get a taxi as a lot of things, but especially as a person of color, especially a Black person. And if you've seen The Wiz, because she claimed that it was a movie that she loved as a child.
Oh yeah, that part, she did say she saw it when she was 5.
It's like, okay, if you saw it when you were 5 and decided to make this look, you probably watched it again. So you probably could have surmised that this taxi was not a good character, even if it wasn't racist. Because I've seen a lot of people saying, like, why make everything about race, which I say because it is, and why bring that into The Wiz when it wasn't a racial thing. I'm going to start right there. First of all, making an all-Black production of The Wizard of Oz, was it racial? Okay, whatever.
Right.
But the fact that they were saying that the taxis were just bad guys because of Eveline, it wasn't about race. And I just find that hard to believe because the symbolism is right there. But even if it wasn't, you still know that this is a taxi cab that wouldn't pick up the Black people. Why would you do that? Why would you choose that? Why couldn't you be the taxi in Roger Rabbit or something?
Girl, right, or why can't you be Tina Burner and just be a damn taxi?
Well, because she's not from New York, so it's a dumb idea in the first place. But it was a cute outfit, so...
Girl, it was a mess. So from to be fair, when we were watching, I didn't like the outfit as much then either, so...
That's fair. I like the outfit. I still stand by it. But my thing is one thing about Elliot, and I'm sure you're hate listening to this. I don't really care. Know where you're from and know your perspective. I think a reason that people can't really get to know Elliot is because who is she other than bitter and nobody likes me in the workroom, right? Or I'm a dancer and everyone's underestimating me. Like everything has a tinge of bitterness to it already. But you're from Las Vegas. You know what I think about when I think of yellow and Las Vegas?
What?
Gold coins, jackpots.
Oh, yes.
There's so much that you could have done with that, but you chose a taxi. When I could have thought, oh, I'm not going to do a taxi. There's going to be New York girls there. They're going to do a taxi. I don't know. Maybe I think too much about these
things. If I even thought about taxi, I would have been like, oh, wait, you know what? There's going to be girls from New York. They're going to be taxi.
Exactly. I'm just like, no, never mind.
Oh, actually, I want to change my yellow runway look. I'm going to be Paula Deen and spill butter on myself. But that might, well, I'm actually just going to be melted butter because I'm going to take the Paula Deen out of that.
Right. Because you don't want to get caught up in the same way that Elliot getting caught
up. I sure don't. Look at me. I'm doing the same damn thing.
But butter is a great freaking idea. Like, you could be like the Pillsbury Dough Girl or something.
Yes.
Just come out and eat a stick of butter. Like, that would be a gag. Oh my God. Anyway, enough about Elliot with three K's. Let's go on down the road. We're going to ease on down now that we've given her far too much airtime.
Girl, right. Cut her whole segment.
to the next runway. And is it yellow or is it orange? The world may never know. It's Rosé giving us the mask. Did you love it or did you hate it?
I love Rosé. I hated this look. I appreciate the reference. I hated this.
I loved it because I felt like it was one of the best modeling jobs that she's done. I felt like her runways have been very stiff, but this one felt like she was having fun, and that I was excited to see. Plus, when she came in the workroom, she said she was like the child of Jim Carrey and Robin Williams. So this is giving us that Jim Carrey. So I liked it. I liked the campiness and the joke of it all.
Yeah, I will say I liked how she wore it. I like how she presented it. I didn't like the shiny collar. I didn't like the green going to her mm-hmm. ear, nowhere else. I wish it was more of a mask moment, but it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think she wanted y'all to know that she's ready to play Elphaba at any given moment.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. She said, hold your bag, Alexis Michelle. I'm going to go play Elphaba and do green the right way.
Okay. Then we have Denali as Brittany's snake. Did you like this?
No, I hated this.
I thought it was okay.
But I hated the bodysuit.
Yeah, the bodysuit was giving very much like simple basic.
I think it was the asymmetrical like mesh cutout that was supposed to be her body, but then it had seams in it, which I mean, you can't avoid that, but it had seams in it and you turn around, there's a zipper in it. Like, girl, you got a zipper going down the middle of your back, but I'm supposed to believe that's your back. Okay.
That's fair. I mean, maybe she could have covered it with stones or something. I don't know. But then you wouldn't be able to unzip it. So I don't know. How do you fix that? Who knows?
I'm sure, so that's her problem.
But I do like the concept. I thought the headpiece was cool. It just means that I can't do any Medusa. Like, there's already been too much on the runway. So yes. That sucks.
I don't want to see any more mother snakes on this fucking runway.
Then we have Gottmik as a crash test dummy. I thought this was fucking cool.
It was awesome. And then, especially since we've already seen a crash dummy look this season, this one was such a fresh take on it. And I think it was more, mm-hmm. it was better executed. It was more fashion.
What do we think it means that we saw two crash test dummies? We saw two of the same wig in Olivia and Candy. We saw, Olivia also did something else the same as somebody. What was that?
The boxing looked like Simone.
The boxing looked like Simone. So what do you think about all of these kawinky dinks?
I think that we were in the middle of a pandemic and they were only allowed to talk to two designers.
But they got them from different designers. That's the thing. I don't know. Like, is Drag Race becoming too, like, formulaic with the girls that they're bringing on the show?
Maybe that's part of the problem. And honestly, a lot of these girls are being pulled from the same area too. Like, it doesn't surprise me that a lot of drag can be regional, even despite their efforts to make it more global. So that maybe explains a little bit of it to me, but a lot of it I think might have to do with the typecasting that they go for now, because everybody does have a certain role, and you can kind of assume what that type of role is going to bring.
Right. I mean, even if you can't necessarily assume, it's just like they're thinking along the same lines. And I don't know, maybe it also just has to do with like what the prompts were, right? You know, the fact that they had a bag ball and then a beaded runway. I guess you can't really assume that two queens are going to both have, you know, puffy, plaited beaded wig, or both do LeMay for you know, they couldn't have planned that. But I don't know. I just feel like it's very interesting. I don't think we've seen this many synchronicities on a season yet, except for Kimono
Gate. Girl, right. I was just about to say that.
Kimono Gate was a trip. But yeah, it's just very interesting. I like to take note of these things and wonder what it means and how I can make sure that if I am ever to be on the show, which I intend to be, fingers crossed, unless RuPaul's listening to this, in which case she's probably like, fuck
yeah,
you.
Neither one of us.
I just don't want to be, you know, I don't want to ever have the same thing as somebody else in my suitcase. I want it to be so uniquely me that you couldn't even think of the same thing, you know?
Yeah, and that's true. And I think that's another big thing is, like, they always talk about people having their signature silhouettes and their signature style and really honing in on them. And I think where we've gotten with where we're at in Drag Race now is everybody, I almost feel like people lose themselves trying to market what image they think would work for Drag Race. And I think that becomes a lot of the problem. Like, I know for me, my strength on Drag Race is not going to be the runway. It's not going to be the looks. I'm very much Southern woman at the golf club having some wine and trying to sleep with the busboy. Like, that is my aesthetic. I'm not like a carnival piece. But for everybody, that's not their thing. But then you get on Drag Race and everyone's like, I've got to be the fashion girl. I've got to have this constructed look. I've got to have this. No, girl, just do you.
Right, right. And I think even if you're going to do the fashion and stuff, like, I want to do fashion. I want to be able to do, like, serve looks. But I want it to just be a unique perspective. And that's why I love Utica so much, is because even though the looks might not be a hit every time, you know it's coming from Utica's brain and not a designer's brain for Utica. You know?
Right, because a designer's brain would have never thought of that earring look.
Exactly.
Like her own visible voice in her fashions.
Yes, and I respect that so much. The same with, like, people like Evie. You know, a lot of the oddball characters end up that way for me. But also, like, Gigi Good. Like, her perspective was very strong, even though it was very fashionable. Same with Violet Chachki. You know, yes. Like, nobody else could do that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And I mean, Aquaria, like, I don't know. I just, like, I think you could still be fashionable and still have your voice in it. I think Simone does a great job. I think Gottmik does a great job. But there's some stuff that's just overlapping here. And I don't know what to say about it. I don't know what to think about it. But more on that later.
As the season progresses.
Okay, we're going to figure it out by the end. So then we get to the critiques, and, you know, it goes how you would expect. We already touched on it just a bit. But in the end, Rosé gets to win her mother tucking rusicle. Jan is like, I don't know.
She's got her tablet at the wall.
She's like, what did I do wrong? But then the bottom two is Candy and Simone. How did you feel in this moment?
I was a little bit devastated because I like them both a lot. I was not surprised, though, based on their performances. Fortunately.
Yeah, exactly. It just sucks that two of my favorite girls are, like, not doing well this episode. Because you see the writing on the wall. No one else did worse.
Right, and that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. And you can't help it. Like, you do the best with what you're given and just hope for the best.
Yeah, like, they had Tina Burner in the bottom. And, like, the fact that Tina Burner was in the bottom for stopping lip syncing while she was laying down and dying and focusing on three things at once. Like,
that was asinine to me. I've never in my life been so mad at a judging moment on Drag Race before. I was literally like, what are y'all talking about?
Right. Well, part of me thinks it's because the group of girls is pretty strong at this point, and, like, they have to nitpick.
Yeah, but I would have nitpicked somebody else.
Oh, yes, I would have definitely nitpicked somebody else, but, you know, they were safe. So then we get into the lip sync, And I'm wondering how Candy is going to lip sync in this dress. Simone, all she's got to do is drop the coat.
Right.
But I will say, to Candy's credit, she made that.
Yes, she did. She used every inch of fabric on that dress to emphasize every movement she made. And I honestly, I thought it was so stunning visually to see all of that movement.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely worked for her. And I think that's part of it. You got to, you know, no matter what you're wearing, you got to make it work for the song and make it work for what you are here to do. And that is what?
Right.
Slay. So the song is Boss by Fifth Harmony, which is like, I feel like a classic drag song at this point because so many queens love the Fifth Harmony.
I'm more of a Little Mix girl myself, but I love Fifth Harmony too.
That's what I'm saying. I'll perform whichever one applies in the moment, okay? I love them both. But Simone is slinking around the stage, giving Ebony Enchantress, and Simone is giving you high kicks and runs and drops. She is
girl,
moving.
Yes, I've never seen Candy move so much in my life, especially when we go from the idea of her sitting alone in a VIP to running all over that stage like a mad woman. It was cute.
Okay, so Simone's giving confidence to me. Candy's almost giving like desperation.
Yeah, definitely, I get that. Simone was very much more, I would say, like more stoic and more commanding, whereas Candy was a little bit more desperate and I don't even know the word for it, but just like flailing about. Yeah, very passionate. Passion. She was like literally throwing her body around. But I felt it from her. Like, yes. You really feel her want to stay.
Absolutely. And sometimes the desperation is too much, but this time I think it worked in her favor because Simone is said to be the winner.
Yes, that's what was said.
And then she says, Candy Muse, sashay away.
Girl, we get that huge, like, tear-stained, heartfelt moment from Candy.
Because, like, I really was like, oh, no. The spoiler said, and she literally let us think that Candy was about to walk away from the competition. And she says, Candy, I'm not ready for you to go, which gagged me just because of the way.
Yeah, like Rue personally is not ready for her to leave, which means she wants to see more.
And I wonder if that was production or if that was literally Rue just being like, no, let's keep
going. I'm going to tell myself for the love of the show that was Rue.
Right. That, like, production was like, okay, Candy Muse gotta go. And she was like, double save.
She's like, my name's on the show. I'm gonna do this.
Yeah. I believe she has that power. I like to think that it's not a group of white men pulling the strings. Right.
Meanwhile, Fenton and Bailey are backstage going, ha, 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 they're gonna love this.
Exactly what we wanted them to think. Yeah. So that's basically the end of this episode. And, whew, it was a wild one.
What a wild ride, not in a taxi.
Okay, because the taxi wouldn't pick me up, girl. I mean, it was fine. So then we get a preview for next week. We usually talk about tea and speculation for the next episode, but it's a COVID special. What do you think about that?
I'm going to speculate that a lot of girls are going to be inside. you know, I'm happy they're doing that because I do want to see how the girls prepared for the show. It was different with the UK girls because they were already filming and left, which to me was almost more interesting. But now that I think about it, I think it's going to be really cool to see these girls get the call in the middle of this horrible situation and then be like, okay, how do I get ready for this now?
That's fair. I still feel like I would have rather seen the 7 months go by with all of the other girls because... Or, like, I think you said it during the viewing party that this should have come before.
Oh, 100%. I don't think it should be in place of an episode. That, like, but.
Yeah, like, if you're gonna. Maybe they were worried about delaying the start too much since they already did two different teams. But, like, do this at the beginning so we can get to know the girls before the competition. Don't put it in the middle because now it feels like you dragged out the beginning. Now you're dragging out the middle. We already have had 8 episodes and only 4 girls have gone home.
I think that's maybe? Right.
5?
What?
Either way, it just feels like the season is taking forever. Maybe they're like, you know what? We're not doing any more seasons in COVID. We're going to make this one last until COVID.
Right. They're like, this season will be ending in March 2022.
Gosh. It's just a lot. And also, I'm just kind of over COVID content. Like, I know we have to document it because it's historic and things like that. But I'm just like, man, could we have not talked about COVID and just continued to pretend?
Right. Like, this is my one good escape. And now you're making me forcing me to face this again.
Exactly. It's weird. But we will be here next week doing a viewing party for a COVID special, which I'm just going to use as an opportunity to talk a ton of shit with Hershey LaCour.
Honestly, and that might even be more fun. I love Hershey. She's great.
Well, my favorite thing is that she has been on Facebook loud and proud about every thought and feeling she has had about the season. She said that this lip sync should have been a double.
I saw that. Like, she said she didn't want none of it.
I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to talk to her because it's going to be like fire and ice. Like, she is going to be complete ice and I'm going to be warm at
heart. That's right. It's that good Louisiana heat.
Okay. But anyway, do you have any tea and speculation about this season that you would like to
any
share with us?
Any tea and speculation? I don't have any fun tea, unfortunately. I wish I had to leave LA before I could get closer to Gottmik. But my speculation is going to be a return to the old format of finale, a top three, not a top four. And I'm going to go ahead and claim my top three is Simone, Gottmik, and Rosé.
Okay, I see it. I see it. I think that would make a great top three. I want Candy or Utica to be that third alternate that, you know, but we'll see
how it goes. And I'm so excited to see how it goes because for once, all those spoilers are wrong.
Right. They have started to be wrong. So it's fun to just speculate on what we think is going to happen. But I would love to see a move back to a normal finale. Do you think they're still going to do a lip sync for the crown? I think that might be.
I've never liked that. So I hope not. I hope they go back to those sickening RuPaul music videos.
Yeah, I like the lip sync for the crown just because it gave us that iconic Sasha moment. And plus, it just feels kind of more like this is what y'all do. You know, like, well, not everyone, but this is what we kind of make our money off of a lot of times. So it feels like good to put that as the spotlight for the finale. But at the same time, think about like Bianca Del Rio would not have won her season if it came down to a little.
Okay, and I was literally about to say that because to me, I would have preferred to see the lip sync challenge that season because Bianca would not have won. Courtney and Adore would have smoked her ass.
And I think Adore would have smoked Courtney too. So I think Adore would be our winner, which doesn't necessarily make sense because I think Bianca won that outright. Like, she was one of those just crown her already kind of things for me. But yeah, so I would love to see a lip sync. If that's the case, then Gottmik is not going to win. Simone is going to win. If it's Simone, Rosé, and Gottmik, then it's going to be between Simone and Rosé for sure.
Yeah, I would say that's a safe guess.
But we will see. We will have to tune in next week for another episode of Local Drag and RuPaul's Drag Race. Thank you so much, Tara, for being here and doing the virtual viewing party and the podcast. I'm so grateful that I got
to talk to you. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me. And the next country that pops up for Drag Race, give me a call, girl. I'm happy to come by again.
Okay, look, I'm going to need a break if they keep popping them out this fast, okay? But I will keep you on the short list. All right, have a great show tonight.
Thanks, sis. Love you too. Ciao.
All right, that's all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to do it again next week. Anchor allows you to send in voice messages, so check out the link in the episode notes if you have any questions or comments for the show, and we just might respond to them on air. Until next time, keep it cute, keep it real, and don't let anyone steal your joy. I'm Laveau Contraire, and this has been Local Drag.